DIY Health Radio here on the People's Patriot Network. I am Sergeant Jim Ram, retired, your host. You can call me Sarge. And this is a special show. As I mentioned yesterday, I am currently traveling on vacation for the next week. And as a result of that, I can't do the show while I'm driving. Imagine that. So I did the other network that I have a show on. Yesterday, I interviewed Alan Phillips, a vaccine rights attorney, and I thought it would be a good thing, since we talked about vaccines on the show yesterday, that today I replay a portion of the interview I did with Alan Phillips on that show, and I think you'll find it interesting. We talked about quite a few different things, but bottom line is Alan is extremely experience in vaccine litigation, or not vaccine litigation, but vaccine law. He's done some litigation, but most of his work is done in the consultation area. He advises other attorneys around the country who are working with specific people who have found themselves in vaccine situations. He also has a very good book on vaccine exemptions that you can find at his website, vaccinerights.com. And I encourage you to get that book. It will be very helpful in educating yourself just about vaccine exemptions, whether it be medical exemptions or philosophical or religious exemptions. And as I mentioned before, I utilize the material in Alan's book to draft a religious exemption for my wife, who works in a hospital here in Central Ohio. And basically, after the first 2 years, you know, she was approved for the exemption both the first 2 years, and then on the third year when we presented the paperwork, they basically told her she had a blanket exemption from here on, that they would not be requiring her to submit new paperwork each year from this point forward, that she had an automatic exemption and didn't have to worry about that anymore. So that just goes to show how having the right material, the right study, and the right information from the right person in the first place, along with a hard-nosed mentality saying that I'm not backing down, this is my belief and I'm sticking to it, and you're not going to force me to do otherwise, how it pays off. So this is a basically a replay of segments of yesterday's show that I do on Truth Frequency Radio Network, and I think you'll find it interesting, and I hope you enjoy it. So here, without any further ado, is the replay. But just remember, when I mentioned the phone lines are open, that this is a recorded call, so you cannot call in and ask questions. And welcome back to Your DIY Health Radio, and I am Sergeant Jim Ram, your host, and you can call me Sarge. And we've got a special guest today. Attorney Alan Phillips is the only attorney that I'm aware of that's gone to law school simply for the purpose of dealing with vaccine rights cases, and just wanted to kind of pick up where we left off. As much as we can. I'm having a brain freeze right now all of a sudden. Too much going on again. But one thing I did want to touch on, Sally in the chat during the Skype sent me a question, Alan, wanting to know if you had any idea what's going on as far as the Trump administration goes and vaccines and healthcare and that kind of thing. You got any idea what's going on there or what's been proposed? I know the president is nowhere near as pro-vaccine as most of the previous people to occupy that office, and I'm hoping we'll see some good things out of him as far as vaccines goes this time around. What have you heard?
Well, that's it's a timely question in the sense that that's really very close to the direction I already had in mind or was going right before the break, so I can sort of pull all of that together. Congress and the Justice Department have known for going on around 3 years now that there's a group of top-level CDC officials that have engaged in very serious criminal behavior by deliberately destroying documents, research documents, proving a causal relationship between vaccines and autism. And if the system works the way it was supposed to, Congress would have immediately investigated, and the Justice Department would have issued indictments, and there would be people probably would have already been through a trial by now and people in prison for that behavior, unless they had managed to slip out of the country somewhere, go into hiding or whatever. But the fact that that hasn't occurred says a couple of very loud and important things. First of all, it says that there's a massive, widespread system of corruption all the way up in the very highest levels of the federal government. Doesn't mean that everybody in the federal government is corrupt. It means that key decision makers or people who control policy, key people are controlled or directly working for the pharmaceutical industry and or other agendas connected with that. As for Trump, you probably are aware, Sarge, that he asked Robert Kennedy Jr. to head up a commission on vaccines and I forget the exact name now, but had to do with scientific integrity and to look into the vaccine question. The problem here is the swamp, the deep state, the Illuminati, cabal, whatever you want to call it, and there probably are multiple entities and factions and so forth. I don't think it's all, you know, one clear ball of wax there. But regardless, there is a system or systems of control that are deeply entrenched and in place. Nothing's going to happen until that system is dismantled. I can say that obviously because we've been waiting 3 years for Congress to investigate and they won't touch it, for the Justice Department to issue indictments. We're waiting for Trump to give Kennedy the go-ahead to pull together whatever they need to pull together to go forward on that issue. And so this goes to the second of what I think are huge issues concerning vaccines and many other things for that matter, that if they are not addressed, nothing else we do is really going to matter. You know, there's a bill right now before Congress that if passed would require a study comparing vaccinated and unvaccinated populations, to which I say, great, I'm all for that. I have no objection to that whatsoever. However, in the current situation, the bill won't pass because the control system will not allow that to happen. But if we got it passed anyway, the study would be delayed or never happen because the control system will not allow that to happen. But if it happened anyway, it would come up with false conclusions because the control system will not allow it to come up with the truth. Any more than when Andrew Wakefield was called up on charges for having, you know, lied about information when he didn't lie, he lost his license anyway. Not because somebody accidentally made a mistake, because a system of control with a predetermined outcome went through a dog and pony show so they could say they did the right thing and, oh, look what happened. And I think you know in that story he had a co-author on the study that gave rise to that whole witch hunt. And his co-author's insurance, unlike Dr. Wakefield's insurance, paid for an appeal. So the co-author was able to appeal the decision, and the appellate entity, this was in Britain, the appellate court or whatever it was that looked at that, had scathing remarks to say about what happened at the trial level. It was you know, a complete joke, and the appellate court recognized that and essentially said that, but that didn't change the outcome for Dr. Wakefield because he couldn't afford to appeal. So he was left, his co-author got off, he got his license back, but Dr. Wakefield was unable to. So the control system is not 100%. The co-author appealed and he won, but it is very far-reaching. And we do have occasional wins here and there where we slip through the cracks of the control system. Again, it's not 100%, but it is substantial. And the overall agenda, vaccine agenda, continues to roll forward despite the occasional win here and there where somebody is successful. In fact, the occasional win helps to give the illusion that the system in place isn't corrupt. Look, it worked there and there. You can't say it's all corrupt. It isn't all corrupt. Well, okay, it isn't all corrupt, just most of it. So here's the point. The point is not let's just give up and go jump off cliffs because there's nothing we can do. While I occasionally have those feelings, certainly not those thoughts, and I would never, even if I was feeling profoundly suicidal, I never have and never will. But even if I was, I would not commit suicide. I wouldn't give them the satisfaction of, you know, me doing their job for them. So if I'm ever accused of, you know, having committed suicide, it's a fake suicide. But anyway, the point is that there's this, you know, vast system of control, not just corrupt people, but people who control all of the critical decision-making people, authorities, and positions. So it doesn't matter, you know, we don't need another study. We don't need the vaccinated versus unvaccinated study because there's already an abundance of information that proves that the current vaccine policy and law is unscientific and therefore unlawful. And I'm not opposed to the study. Let's do the study. But if that's all we do is we have another study, even if the study is done right and comes up with the right answer, it's going to be suppressed. It's not going to change anything. It's not going to make the controlled decision makers be not controlled anymore. So we have to recognize, yes, we do need to raise awareness. We do need to figure out how to get past these psychological barriers so we can accelerate the rate at which people are becoming aware, waking up. But just raising awareness, just doing another study, that's not going to fix anything because that's not addressing the system of control that goes forward regardless of who's awake. And if you'll forgive the silliness of the analogy, I just haven't come up with a good one yet. It's, you imagine a glass goldfish bowl, and it's like as we're raising awareness, we're throwing more and more goldfish into the bowl. But it doesn't matter how many fish we throw into the bowl, they're never going to break through the glass. And the glass is actually a good metaphor because the control system is actually invisible to most of us. We're not consciously aware of it. It's certainly not a physical thing you can point to and touch. Per se, it is in the sense that there are people who are, you know, part of that system. But the point is, we are so focused on the facts and the science, not realizing that that is not what the facts and the science are not what got us where we are today, obviously. They're also not going to get us out of it in and of themselves. Of course, ultimately, this is about the science and the facts. Of course, ultimately, that has to prevail and be seen and recognized widespread. That is the absolute necessary end result. The question is, does asserting the facts right now change anything? And I'm not saying don't assert the facts, but I'm seeing all over the place people asserting the facts. In some cases, tens of thousands pouring into the streets in Italy and France, for example, and it's not fixing anything. So there's something we're missing in terms of what we need to do, and we're running out of time. The point of no return for this. This is a work in progress. It was planned decades ago. It's being rolled out methodically, scientifically, in terms of scientific psychological manipulation and control, very, very carefully and ingeniously being implemented and rolled out. And there is a point of no return, just as there was a point in Nazi Germany where beyond a certain point, if you spoke out, you were going to die or be thrown in jail or disappear or something like that. And that's already happening today in the U.S. We have over 60 alternative medical doctors, researchers, and alternative healthcare practitioners who have died under mysterious circumstances or clearly outright murdered or people who were perfectly happy and content in their life's work, but for some reason they mysteriously committed quote-unquote suicide, what we say they were suicided. So there's already that level of step being taken here in the wonderful land of the so-called free to suppress anybody opposing the continuous forward movement of this agenda. So it's very, very serious already. I think the point of no return, Sarge, if we get there, and our job, of course, is to keep this from happening, is the place where they start passing laws that say you are no longer allowed to say anything negative about vaccines, and the excuse will be that you're putting other people at risk unnecessarily, because already a part of our legal system is that you don't have endless freedom of speech. You can't post on the internet how to make a dirty nuclear bomb. You don't have the right to free speech insofar as it would involve causing or inciting riots or supporting or promoting terrorism or anything that's you know, highly likely to have serious adverse consequences on other people's safety and well-being.
Unless you're a member and of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, if they anchor into this idea that all the anti-vaxxers are going to kill people because they're telling them not to vaccinate, we could see laws being passed that prevent us from sharing our viewpoint, which, you know, is the truth. Mm-hmm. And we're already seeing the groundwork being laid for that. We have people speaking out saying things like anti-vaxxers should be in jail and the parents who don't vaccinate their kids should be in jail and the Boston, what was it, the Herald or whatever, who they had a commentary saying, you know, these people should be hanged. The advanced rhetoric here is not just a few crazy people speaking out. I believe, anyway, that this is part of a systematic control mechanism that is being unveiled, if you will, or being implemented a step at a time. And this is a deliberate step to create a public perception that people who speak out against vaccines are serious, bad, awful people. And if they succeed in getting that implanted widely, then there would be support for passing laws to make it illegal to speak out. And once it's illegal to speak out, we either speak out anyway and pay the consequences, go to jail or whatever, or we stop speaking out. So this is, we have to be mindful that there's an agenda, decades-old agenda, that's been systematically laid out that is simply being implemented a step at a time here. And there are mechanisms for controlling the masses, which is you couple false information with fear. Oh, there's a measles outbreak. We're all going to die. Everybody go get your vaccines. And once people are afraid, the rational functions shut down. People, you know, aren't able to even objectively look at the issue anymore.
Yeah, back to the congressional hearings. That always makes me nervous. It brings back the old saying that careful what you're asked for, you just might get it. And there's another old adage that, you know, the congressional hearing is a kiss of death to whatever the subject was. They're going to basically, you know, if they have one, the reason it'll be controlled, and they will find the findings that they want to find regardless of, you know, what the person who requested the hearing wanted in the first place. They're going to find the answers that basically go with their narrative. And, you know, a congressional hearing on vaccines, it would not surprise me that even though the person requesting it had good intentions, when the outcome finally came by, it would be something to the effect that, yes, they're safe, effective, and anybody that says otherwise is an idiot, and boom, that's the end of the thing, because, of, you know, too many people believe, oh, the Congress has looked at it, so, you know, whatever they found must be right. And you just have to look at the 9/11 investigation to know that that's not the case.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the thing that makes me nervous. And there's been plenty, like you said already, there's been other studies outside of Congress that, you know, did look at vaccinated versus unvaccinated and proved that unvaccinated are definitely far healthier, far fewer diseases, and just have better overall health and everything. You know, they're more intelligent, higher IQs, the whole shooting match. And we don't need Congress to get involved in doing this research. They just need to take the research that's already been done and do the right thing by it. And chances of that happening are slim and none, too. But,
yeah, so I mean, the short answer to the question, Sarge, is we've got to drain the swamp, and then we have a context within which the truth can rise to the top.
Right.
But until we address, you know, that control system, the odds of anything, any really important piece of truth seeing the light of day and being acted on with integrity are just slim. I won't say they're none. Because we do have occasional instances, you know, where things go right and work the way they're supposed to. But we have, you know, many other instances in important situations where the agenda goes forward despite the law being on the other side, or there being massive opposition, outspoken public. And but I tell you, I got one sort of a side issue. You know, in France and Italy, they're talking about new vaccine mandates that still don't come anywhere near the number of vaccines that are already presently mandated in the U.S. You know, where was the outpouring in the streets here 2 decades ago when we were where these countries are now in terms of number of vaccines? This says something really alarming to me. It's either about American culture, or it's about how much more effort has been put into controlling the American population, or maybe some combination of the two. But in any event, you know, we administer right now twice as many vaccines as the average of 30 other Western nations. There's nobody else that comes close to requiring and administering the number of vaccines for children in particular that we do here in the U.S., and yet, you know, we're just so apathetic or so unaware or both. It's just interesting. I just, you know, my hat is off to the citizens in Italy and France that have their eyes open and realize how horrible the idea of adding more mandates is. And then I've got to just scratch my head and say, what is going on? Those people speaking out the way they did is not stopping the agenda there from going forward. So, but again, the takeaway is we're not doing whatever it is it takes to stop the agenda. So let's stop a minute and ask, well, why, what are we doing? What have we been doing? And why is that not working? And what difference do we need to do
to make some progress? You know, they don't fluoridate the water in Europe because people over there said no way. They knew what the Nazis did with fluoride in the concentration camps during World War II. And the problem is while they have the ability to reason a whole lot over there, they don't have the means to back up what they say. In other words, they've been disarmed. Now, just the opposite is true here. We're heavily fluoridated, so we're very docile, and we basically let them do whatever they want to us because of the situation. We've been, you know, neutered with chemicals, and they had to do that because we are so heavily armed. Now, if somehow or another the people of the U.S. and the people of EU got together and they got our guns and we got their guts, this would be a dangerous world for the bad guys. But I think that's the big problem, is we have been dumbed down and basically, you know, chemically neutered. That's why no matter what happens, nobody seems to get upset about it. I honestly believe it's because of the stuff in the water, the stuff in the air, and the stuff in the food that has just messed our heads up so much that the people, little things that normally would have set off an outcry. If you look at what happened right after World War II, the Battle of Athens, Georgia, I think it was, or Athens, Tennessee, I can't remember which, where the local folks tried to basically control the elections. And the vets came and they got into the armory, got the weapons, and came and said, nope, you're not going to do that stuff. Well, contrast that with what happens in the last elections with all the buying, the dead people voting, and the illegal aliens voting, and nobody did anything. And it's because of 50-some years of fluoridated water and other junk that's been pumped into us. So that even though we have the means to resist, we don't have the will. And over in Europe, they have the will, but not the means. So they're in either case, the powers that be can do whatever they want because they have taken care of the situation where if there's will, there's no way, and if there's way, there's no will. And I think that's what we're looking at. So both, you know, the EU and the US are pretty much screwed for the, you know, even though it's been done in different ways, where the outcome is the same. And I think that's, and it's all part of the plan.
I think it's a brilliant analysis, Sarge. And it parallels my understanding of how the depopulation agenda is implemented, and it's not a topic that I'm particularly knowledgeable or expert about, but my understanding is, first of all, I do absolutely believe there is a depopulation agenda internationally, and my understanding is that there are multiple techniques that are employed, chemical, political, various different kinds of, what would be the word, you know, in terms of food or consumption, or, you know, a lot of different ways that they address it, but they use any particular combination of techniques depending on regional factors, you know, what a particular country or countries or portion of a country, what are the socioeconomics, what's the culture, what are the techniques that match a particular set of circumstances, and that'll vary with different parts of the world.
That's a prime thing. I don't know if you're familiar with the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola by Len Horowitz, but he basically looked at the AIDS virus and the Ebola virus, which were created by the U.S. government in the USAMRIID, which is the United States military's medical research division in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And it was funded by Congress. He actually reproduces in the book the copies of the legislation that appropriated the funding for two immune system ravaging viruses, a fast kill and a slow kill. Fast kill is Ebola, slow kill is AIDS. Then they look at how, you know, any time you have a real pandemic, there's one ground zero. With AIDS, there was two. You had it in the gay population in New York City, and you had it in the population in Africa. And in Africa, the AIDS was introduced through tainted vaccines. I think it was, trying to remember what the vaccine was that they used.
Pretty sure it was a polio vaccine, if I remember.
It may have been a polio vaccine, but it was given to people in Africa by the World Health Organization. And then in the United States, in the gay population in New York, it was done through hepatitis B vaccines. And that's a primary thing where they look at a particular situation and say, okay, here's a problem here. Now, in a typical problem, reaction, solution, they probably created the problem, but then they go in and say, okay, now here is the so-called solution to this thing. We're going to give you free vaccines to help alleviate these problems that you're experiencing, and then, of course, the killer virus is in those vaccines, and boom, look what's going on in Africa now, and look what's going on in the gay population in the United States, you know. That's a prime situation where, and it was through, you know, the higher ups, the World Health Organization, the AMA, Big Pharma, you know, they're all involved in these things. So that's not, you know, that's definitely the case. And look at the number of deaths that have occurred and the orphans all over Africa who also have the diseases because they got it from their mothers and that kind of thing. And it's the gift that never stops giving. And we have, you know, modern chemistry and all that, you know, the United States government and, you know, who knows who else to thank for that.
Yeah, and also interesting there, just to take it one small step further, my understanding was that AIDS in Africa affected
Yeah, hold that thought.
And not homosexual.
Yeah, we got a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of Alan Phillips from Movie I Want Health and myself, Sergeant General Andrew Sires. And we'll open up the phones at that point. So feel free, if you got a question for Alan, give us a call once we come back. Have you ever noticed that even though America spends twice as much as the rest of the world on doctors and medicine, we're still some of the sickest people on the planet? If you think the medical community has failed us and that there must be a better way, then you'll want to tune in to the Your DIY Health radio program here on People's Patriot Network beginning Monday, September 4th, 2017. The host, Sergeant Jim Ram, retired, was facing a laundry list of chronic health conditions that his physician was telling him were incurable. He became a student of true medical nutrition and learned that he could reverse every one of his ailments with science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition. In just a few months, he was able to reverse high blood pressure, gastric reflux, sleep apnea, arthritis, degenerative disc disease, heart arrhythmia, and AFib, and many more. He wants to help you do the same. Tune in to Your DIY Health on People's Patriot Network, Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific.
Pharmaceutical drug guys just can't get enough. They don't care if you live or you die, long as they get their piece of pie. My. They convince you it's the right drug for you, but they didn't tell you what your liver goes through. And just because some MD said jump, your body became a toxic dump. Found a way to get it all back. They say, we'll legalize your drug deal, but you gotta give us lots of check. Well, wake up, you're being screwed. Pharmaceutical drug guys can be so rude. They don't care if you live or you die, long as they get their piece of pie. My. Don't care if you live or you die, long as they get their piece of pie.
And nothing could ever been said that was more true than what we just heard. They don't care if you live or you die as long as they get their piece of pie. But I think they do care if you live or die. They want you to die. And that's what we were talking about before the break. We're back with Your DIY Health Radio, and I'm Sergeant Jim Ram, retired, your host. You can call me Sarge, and our guest is Alan Phillips, and vaccine rights attorney extraordinaire. And we were going out. Alan, I'll just let you pick up where you left off, if you can remember where that was.
Well, at least a related tangent here. There was a recent article talking about a nursing student who, with the whole class of nursing students, they were taught by the instructors to lie to patients in order to coerce them into vaccinating. And, you know, as I'm reading this article, she ended up in a lawsuit. She got dismissed from the program because she questioned lying to patients. And on the one hand, it's like, good for her for speaking out. It takes a brave person to do that and then to, you know, follow through with a lawsuit. And she won her lawsuit, but the court capped her damages at the cost of the nursing program and not the, it's been now 4 years, this has gone, you know, played out in court to get to this point, and now she lost, you know, 4 years of her life that she should have been completing the program and be out, you know, a practicing nurse now. And so her attorney is appealing the damages part, but she won the case, which is great. This is a win. But Sarge, as I was just skimming over this during the break, you know, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Where were the other 30 or however many there were students in the class? Why were they not all in a unified voice saying, we refuse to lie to patients, you know, about the science of the vaccines? And
it's not common anymore. That brings back, I don't know if you're familiar with Michael New. he was an Army specialist back in the early 90s, and basically was told that he had to wear a UN uniform and follow UN leadership, and he refused because I swore an oath to the Constitution. And his entire battalion, you know, he was the only one to stand up and say no, and was court-martialed and ultimately drummed out of the military because of it. And same kind of thing, you know, doing the right thing, you know, in perilous times, doing the right thing is a revolutionary act. And, you know, to paraphrase, I forget who it was that said that, but I think it was, anyway, I can't remember. But, yeah, doing the right thing and standing for what's right is not something that most people will do anymore. You know, I ended up taking an early retirement for the same kind of reason, because I was sick and tired of, you know, going on calls and violating people's rights because they wanted me to follow the rules of the police department as opposed to the Constitution that I swore and uphold, protect, and defend. So it's, yeah, the people that do that thing are a rare breed and a very lonely group. Because most people go along to get along. They have, and I again put it on the public school system, most people, just because of their upbringing and their education, it doesn't occur to them that there is a right thing or a wrong thing. If this is what we're being trained, okay, this is the way we're being trained. We just do it. We don't think about what we're doing or why we're doing it. We just do it. And if you look back, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that person was either homeschooled or had a strong Christian background, one of the two, if not both. And it'd be interesting to look into that just to see. But
maybe it was the only one in the class that realized they were being told to lie. Maybe everybody else believed what they were being told to say and just didn't question it, you know, so who knows. But
that'd be an interesting one to look into, and if you can, send me a link or something to that. I'd like to take a look at it and go over it a little bit more.
Yeah, I've actually got links to a couple of articles on my second website, pandemicresponseproject.com, for your listeners, pandemicresponseproject.com, and then there's a link, I believe it's the upper right of every page, to a news page. Go to the news page, and there's some very couple of recent articles talking about this case. You know, disturbing that everybody wasn't speaking out saying, no, we're not going to lie, but in today's world, not unusual that you know, was not the case, and therefore, this one particular nursing student who did speak out, amazing human being. You know, we need a million more just like her, and this whole issue would go away quickly.
While you're at it, go ahead and give out your other contact information, your other website, just so that folks at home have that information.
Yeah, people concerned with exemptions in any context, birth, daycare, school, work, college, employment, military, immigration, so forth, go to vaccinerights.com. There also is an articles page on that site with just information about validating the vaccine controversy, and then I have articles where I have done legal analyses of some of the bills around the country that have been up in recent years and other legal issues that have come up just generally. You know, it's an ugly issue, and before going to law school, professional musician, and would really love to spend the rest of my life just playing music and writing and composing and producing and just really enjoying that universe. But the world has some serious things going on that are not preventing me from doing that, just slowing me down.
Yeah. I see on that, the pandemic response project, you got a music video and another song, Share Your Light. I'm going to have to check those out.
Yeah, do check them out if you're interested. The other song called Destiny Freedom, mm-hmm. I actually wrote in response to someone I now sincerely believe is actually a disinformation agent, but someone pretending to be in the alternative movement, actually put out a call for songs and wanted to put together some sort of a compilation, I don't know, a CD or something with music from different musicians. And I actually wrote that song, Destiny Freedom, in response to that. That person actually never followed through with that project, and so there was never a CD or songs collected or whatever. And she said, give me the song and sign something, signing away all your rights, and the song is mine, and I can do whatever I want to with it. And that seemed like way over the top.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have participated ultimately anyway. But it was nevertheless, it served as a inspirational point that led to the song, and I was real happy with it, the outcome myself.
I'll have to repost that on my Facebook page. Hey, cool. Yeah, I'll check it
out. Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, we'll probably play it on a future show. Sounds good. But, for those listening, again, it's pandemicresponseproject.com and vaccinerights.com, correct? Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Okay. So, yeah, I can't believe that, it's nice to hear that a nurse in training was actually had the wherewithal and the understanding to stand up and say no. It's curious. it's probably one out of maybe 40 or 50. And I just hate to think that we're in that spot. Like I said, 50 years ago, it would have been 50 out of 50. They'd all said, you got to be crazy. Well, first off, 50 years ago, they'd know better than to even suggest that nursing students lie, because that's one thing I know about nurses. They are 100% pro-patient. I'm married to a registered nurse, and she will go toe-to-toe with physicians left and right, surgeons, whatnot, anybody who threatens to do something that would in any way endanger her patient. So she's like a pit bull when it comes to that kind of thing, a strong advocate. And most nurses are like that. That's why they get into nursing in the first place. So the fact that they would be told to lie to their patients to get them to take vaccines, it would be interesting to know what the whole context was and whether or not they were actually, blatantly making it clear that the people were lying, or if they just thought, like you said, that, this is the right thing to do, you need to do this, and most of them thought the vaccines were really safe. That would be a very interesting thing. But I'm glad at least one person had the guts to stand up, and I sure hope that she gets a better award than just the, time, for her classes and stuff. That's crazy, because, you've got years and years of potential earnings that are down the drain now, too, and she should definitely be compensated for that. But who knows?
Well,
getting into another nursing school are probably fairly slim because of this situation as well.
Well, that's a good point. Does she even want to continue down that path at all? I've had some nursing students as clients trying to avoid vaccines, and the law supports them when they approach it properly, but it's really hard to find a school and clinical sites that will cooperate with the law.
Yeah. Well, if that young lady is out there and happens to be listening, I recommend become a longevity distributor. You'll be able to help more people with nutrition than you ever would with drugs anyway. Give me a call. We'll talk.
right. And my experience in nurses is just toe-to-toe with yours. And I've worked with a few hundred of them over recent years, helping them avoid flu shots in the workplace, and that's my experience. They're, of course, like anybody else, they need a job to make a living and feed their families, but they are drawn to the profession because of compassion, and
right,
they, more so than the average person, that also has compassion. So it's not a put down of anybody else, but they're, as a group, they're really very special. They want to help people in need, in pain, who are suffering and so forth. They want to, nurse these people back to health. And and be there for them. And it's just, you know, such a wonderful person that feels that kind of a calling and acts on it and then gets out there. And then they get into the hospital world, those of them that end up in hospitals, and discover that that's a very militant environment, just, you know, 180 degrees opposite of the kind of personality that and feelings that drew them to the profession in the first place. So it must be a rude awakening for some, you know, nursing students when they get out into the hospital world and see how it really works.
Yeah, it seems like every profession, you know, when I went through the police academy and all that and I got out on field training, you know, my first thing, my training officer said, okay, you learned the by-the-book stuff in the academy. Now I'm going to teach you how you really do it. And,
right.
You know, medical profession is the same way. They get the stuff in the medical school, and then they get real life afterwards. And the nurses, I'm sure, are the same place. And it's sad that, you know, you have those two different levels and two different paradigms, and, you know, you get into it for one thing and you find out it's something totally different afterwards, and or at least there's potential there for that kind of thing. And hopefully, I just hope that that young lady is going to prevail in the long run and will find something that she can do to help fulfill those goals of helping humanity. So, you know, we need more people like that, especially more people with the honesty and character and convictions that she's got. Those are the kind of folks that are going to make this world a better place.
I'm looking, as you're speaking, Sarge, at an article here that as of January 1st, France is now requiring 11 more vaccines than they did before. The number is increasing from 3 to 11 as of January 1st. And it was just real interesting. There is, let me see if I can find it again here, the phrase, that the way they worded it. The idea is that 15% of children who endanger others and promote the reemergence of deadly epidemics today will get vaccinated in order to protect the rest of the population. And this, again, is an example of a psychological tactic. The wording here is not by any means emotionally neutral. Children who endanger others, that's, of course, an assumption. Why? Are there suddenly massive outbreaks recently, and so now we need to take some new measures to address them? No, this is purely hypothetical. We haven't had massive outbreaks for decades. And so how would not getting a newly required vaccine, it's not being required in response to, you know, outbreaks that suggest we need to do something to address the issue. It's after decades of the absence of that all of a sudden not getting vaccinated promotes the reemergence of deadly epidemics. I mean, it's so obvious when you look at it and you're thinking about it, but if you're not thinking about it, you're going to read that and it's going to affect you at an emotional level. You're not even going to be conscious that that's what's going on. And the way that human beings tick, we make decisions emotionally, usually or often on a subconscious level, the emotional component. What we're conscious of actually is a rationale that we tack on top of the emotional decision, and then we point to the rationale as the reason that we make a decision. Now, I'm not suggesting that no decisions are ever rational or reasonable, you know, in an intellectual sense, but we are, again, as I said earlier, we are where we are today because the people who got us here understand the psychology. And the way psychology works, the way that human beings tick, the way we think, the way we act, is largely driven by emotion and much of that on the subconscious level. So if you can toy around with that subconscious component of the human psyche, first of all, no one's going to be aware of it because it's subconscious. And second of all, you're really getting to the heart of where our behavior stems from, our thinking and our behavior. So we're all being manipulated without even knowing it because it goes on in a subconscious level and it's done at an emotional level, and then we create on a conscious level the rationale. A real simple example, you try to tell somebody there's a problem with vaccine and that person's intellectual understanding is vaccines got rid of all these horrible deadly diseases. So if you're trying to tell me, and that's a very logical idea, may happen to be wrong factually, but it's logical and it seems reasonable, and therefore there's no reason to toss it out on its face anyway. And so when somebody provides you with contradictory information, oh, vaccines didn't do that, or vaccines are harmful or whatever, you don't even have to look at their information, because if your view seems logical to you and somebody presents to you a different conclusion, then obviously their view is not logical or not reasonable, because they've come to a different conclusion than your logical understanding. So on a conscious level, it gets rejected because it doesn't make any sense. I don't even have to look at it. On a subconscious level, what's going on is that emotionally, if what you're saying to me is right, then the world is a dark, ugly, uncomfortable place. And let's face it, human beings, at least in our culture, really go to a lot of effort to try and stay comfortable and be comfortable. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, you know, in more in a neutral sense of that's how human beings tick, so to speak, how we think and function. So the words that health authorities put out are designed to manipulate us emotionally. Children who endanger others and promote the reemergence of deadly epidemics. I mean, is that not a scary idea or not? I mean, but the point is, you think about it objectively, it doesn't make any sense. But if it successfully triggers a fear, even a subconscious fear, then all of a sudden the rational thinking part of the brain is cut off and people act on the emotional component and not on, well, gee, I wonder if there's any objective evidence supporting that or contradicting it. Let me go look into that for myself. So one of the things we need to do, Sarge, is help people to understand, first of all, they've been lied to. The simplest kind of, when the switch that flips from buying into everything you're told and starting to question some, if not everything you're told, is the realization that you've been lied to. So however it happens, the flipping point, I think, for most people ultimately is they have to understand, each of us individually has to understand that we've been lied to. So I don't think the answer to the question, how do you deal with the psychological barriers, it's not a short answer. There's not a short answer to that. But part of the answer is help people understand they've been lied to. And it only takes one point or one fact to make that point. You don't have to bring anybody up to speed on the entire, you know, 9/11 issue or vaccine issue or whatever it is. You just need to present them with one or very few facts that irrefutably illustrate that we've been lied to. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court said, this is true, a 2011 U.S. Supreme Court case, U.S. Supreme Court said that vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Right. Not just unsafe, unavoidably unsafe. That should be a red flag to anyone and everyone. Of course, the reason they said that is because it promotes and supports the pharmaceutical industry, because that fact is the reason that they concluded in the case that the industry should have, for all practical purposes, no liability. What they had before was limited liability, but after that U.S. Supreme Court case, they had virtually no liability at all. So that's sort of a separate issue. You know, if vaccines are unavoidably unsafe, obviously nobody should ever have to get one, but that's not what they did with that fact. They used that fact to support the pharmaceutical industry, and that raises another question about how deep does the corruption go.
That would be a good bumper sticker. Just put that statement on there, and then underneath it, you know, put it up there in parentheses or in quotes, and then underneath it, just put United States Supreme Court, you know, whatever the case reference was. That would be interesting. See how many compliment, you know, questions you get about that.
That's a brilliant idea, Sarge, and we need to, you know, it's an inherently complicated issue, but we need to boil it. We need to boil some of this down to some really concise sound bites. Mm-hmm. You know, $3.7 billion paid out for vaccine injury and death. Are you safe? You know, how many vaccines do you want? I don't know what this is, maybe a better follow-up question, but I really like that. You know, unavoidably unsafe. Vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. U.S. Supreme Court 2011. And just leave it right there. You know, that would confuse a lot of people. But confusion, I think, is actually a necessary step between believing everything you're told and getting to the place where you're concluding that you can't believe everything you're told. You know, that initial wake-up step. You've got to throw something out there. It's going to be something that is a form of cognitive dissonance or creates that inconsistency with my belief system, my psychological worldview. We have to challenge people's psychological worldview. That's what it's going to take. And we have to, begin educating ourselves about how the psychology works and how do you interact with a psychological barrier. One way, and this came from the same psychologist on the 9/11 video I was talking about earlier, one way to do this is not to throw facts at people, because the door has to open from the inside. People have to each figure it out for themselves. And the more you bang away at facts, the tighter the door closes. So it's not about overwhelming them with information. It's just the opposite. It's about inviting them to open their door from the inside and peek out. How do you coax the turtle out of its shell, so to speak? You know, we keep banging louder and harder on the turtle's shell, and we wonder why the turtle doesn't come out of its shell, you know? And it's the wrong dynamic. So we have to figure out how to invite people out. One way to invite people out is to ask a question. You're putting your child and everyone else at risk by not vaccinating your child. Do you know how much money the federal government paid out last year because of the people killed and injured by the vaccines? Mm-hmm. And you just let the question hang in the air. And if there's any room for an opening, they will indicate that with their response. If there isn't, then there's nothing more to say, and you drop the issue and go on to the next person. But just to add the piece of information, $252 million in fiscal year 2016. We're now closing in on the end of fiscal year 2017, and it looks like it's going to be a similar figure for 2017. But these are things for us to have in mind and carry forward, as we try to advance our own agenda and stop this insane pharmaceutical agenda.
Yeah, I'm just doing a little research here about that case. It was Brucewicz versus Wyeth, and it was decided February 22nd, 2011. And oddly enough, oh, wait a minute, there we go. I think that's another case that they're referencing to. They don't have the actual U.S. Supreme Court reference on here for some reason. This is actually the syllabus of the case. I'm trying to find it. I'm going to have to go into the actual Supreme Court site and find the actual case, I guess. But there are a lot of notes on this thing, a lot of different articles and all that kind of stuff. And, since 1968, I think it was 86, when the Congress passed the law giving the companies immunity, they paid out billions. And that should tell people. Well, I hope you enjoyed that replay with Alan Phillips, and that you'll take part of, or get involved and help educate others about what we've talked about today in vaccines and the fact that they are not safe and effective. They are actually dangerous, and that there are more effective ways to promote immunity in yourselves and your loved ones through science-based, clinically verified medical nutrition, a high-protein diet, and homeopathic prophylaxis. So I encourage you to look into those different aspects and to remain strong and steadfast in opposition to vaccinations. And at the same time, again, go to Alan's website, vaccinerights.com. Again, that's vaccinerights.com. And check out the information there. I encourage you to get a copy of his ebook and support him. He's under quite a bit of attack right now, and their agenda to try and vaccinate every single human being in the country and eventually the world. As one of the people who's standing out against that, he definitely needs your help. But that's all the time we have for this show, and we will see you on Monday.